All right, we started to discuss yesterday a very important hakira about the nature of halanas shachar sachir. The fact that I have to pay my worker is pashit, and if I don't pay my worker, the Gemara says that I'm over on four lavin, and I say lots of halachic problems, obviously, with not paying your worker at all. Most prominently, seemingly gazela. You have to pay your worker. However, what about the din that I have to pay him on time? How do we look at that? Is that part of the financial agreement that I've made with him? There's actually a price tag on that. When I'm hiring you, I'm actually not only hiring you and paying you $100 for your work, but in a certain sense, I'm actually paying you $105. $100 for your work, and then there's like a $5 value to the fact that I'm paying you on time. I'm going to pay you that day. You might be concerned, you're going to pay me $100, but when? When am I going to get the money? In a month? In 2 months? In a year? I say, no, I realize that that has monetary value also. That's part of your salary. Part of your salary is not only that I'm paying you, but also that I'm paying you on time. And if I don't pay you on time, so I've stolen from you. I've stolen money from you. Or, are these two different parshios? I have a chiyuv to pay you, and I'm going to pay you the $100. Pay you on time? That's between me and God. Or even if it is between me and you, that's not a financial din between me and you. That is a halacha of Isser and Heter. There's a halacha, I have to pay you on time. There's an Isser to pay you on time. For example, there are many mitzvahs ben adam mechaber that have no monetary aspect to them. I have to be nice to you. I have to l'orecha kamocha. Biker cholim. If I don't do biker cholim, if I do an aveira that's been adam mechaber, if I make fun of you, are you able to sue me? Did I cause you financial damage now? Did I steal from you because I made fun of you? Between me and you, if I'm not nice to you. Forget about all of the grumma that might be involved because people see you being embarrassed and they don't want to do business with you. Forget about that. Me and you. If I'm not nice to you, if I do onas devarim, I have to go over to you and I say, remember when you used to not be religious and you ate all that treif? And now look, you're eating at my house, you're eating kosher, and you're asking me what my kashrus is? You were barely eating kosher last year. So that's an isser of onas devarim. It's an isser in the Torah. Ben adam l'chaveru, an aveira. Did I steal from you by doing that? Is there a financial price tag on that? Of course not. That's an aveira. It's an isser. It's not a financial isser. So the fact that I have to pay you on time, is that a financial isser? There's a price tag on that? Or it's just an isser. There's a financial responsibility that I have to pay you your wages. And in addition to that, there's an unrelated mitzvah in the Torah to pay you on time and an unrelated aveira to not pay you on time. But it's not a financial arrangement. One of the nafka mina that we discussed yesterday was just the question of Yerusha. If a person hires a worker and the worker dies and the child now inherits the estate of the worker. So the fact that I have to pay the worker, pay his estate, and eventually that money will go to the child, that's not up for discussion. The child inherits all financial interests of the father. But what about the fact that I'm supposed to pay him on time? Is the child also get the right to be paid on time? Meaning, a lot of times when you have to deal with an estate, it could take months until the lawyers work everything out. Do I have to, as the employer, do I have to come to my lawyer and say, listen, I know there's a lot of things that need to be worked out, but pay the son of the worker today. Keep it in mind, we'll work out the cheshbon later when we go through the whole estate. I say, I got to pay him right now. Pay him right now. I know. Is there a chiv to pay the son right away? Do I have an avera? Do I have to be concerned? Listen, pay. Don't wait for the lawyer to call you and to say that I know you owe money to the father, so give it to the kid instead. Don't wait for that. Pay right away. Now, there's true. There might be a din of a tviya. There's no chiyuv unless there's first a tviya. But forgetting about all those issues right now, is the din of biyomoti tein scharo, is the lav of lo sala and lo savo, do those apply to the child or not? This lechora would be dependent upon our question. If it's a financial obligation, so then, certainly, every financial obligation is yoresh to the child. But if this is just a separate iser, ben adam l'chaveiro, so I don't have that klape the son, I had that klape the father. I don't have that klape the son, and therefore it wouldn't apply. The second nafka mina is regarding the question of Pachos Meshava Pruta. The Gemara discusses on, quotes a memer here, Rav Asi, and Daf Kuf Yadala from Beis and Bav Metzia. Amar Rav Asi, Afilu lo sachru el livtzor lo eshkol echod shel anovim over mishum bal tolin. Says Rav Asi, even if I've only hired my worker to pluck one
cluster,
thank you, one cluster of grapes, so if I don't pay him on time, I'm over on Baal Tullin. Asks Tosfos, asks the Ravid. Tosfos is clearly addressing this question also. Asks the Ravid, what's the Havamina that you wouldn't be having to serve Baal Tullin? Who cares if I've hired him to work on a ton of grapes? Or I've hired him to work on one cluster of grapes? Why does Rav Asi in the Gemara have to come and tell me, you should know, the din of Biyomotit and Scharo, the Isser of Losalin, applies also, even if you've only hired him to do one cluster of grapes? What's the Havamina not? Rav Asi is clearly coming to teach us something. So comes along Tosfos and says, this is to tell me that it's even applies by a Sachir of Sha'os. I would have thought maybe that the din only applies by a Sachir Yom. Or maybe if he's a significant Sechir Shaos, right? The Mishnah talks about a Sechir Shaos. But maybe it only means if I've hired him for like half a day. But to hire him for a 30-second job, maybe there's no din. Comes along Rav Asi and tells you, no, don't think that when the Mishnah says it's a din of Baal Tolin by a Sechir Yom or by a Sechir Shaos, it needs to actually be hours. No, it even applies if you give somebody a 5-minute job, a 30-second job. You got to pay him that day. That's one suggestion of Tosfos. The other suggestion of Tosfos is that what happens if I hire him to pluck one cluster of grapes and he eats that grape? Because he's allowed to, right? There's a din of a poa working the field. We learned that. He's allowed to eat the grape. So what would happen if I hired him to pluck a grape and he ate that one grape? What about in that situation? Still, even though I sort of got the raw end of the deal here, I hired him to do a job and he ate the entire job. So maybe there... Okay, I still have to pay him for his work, but since I got really shafted on this whole situation, maybe I don't have to pay him on time. Kamash Malan, yes, you pay him on time. There's a din there as well. That's how Tosfos learns the Chiddush of Rav Asi. However, the Ritva quotes a different answer. Says the Ritva, you know what the Havamina was? Maybe the Havamina was, since this Schirus is a Schirus of Pachos Meshava Pruta, I would have thought, maybe since this whole hiring job is for less than a pruta's worth of work, I would have thought there's no din of biyomotitein scharo. Kamash malan, there is. What's the Havamina? What's the Maskana? What's the Ritva talking about Pachos Meshava Pruta? Why is Pachos Meshava Pruta significant? I mean, Tosfos already said, maybe there would be a Havamina that by an insignificant job, there's no din. So the Ritva should just say that, an insignificant job. Why does he harp on Pachos Meshava Pruta? Why is that the determining factor of whether it's significant or not? I'll take a question in a second. So, it could be because Pachos Meshava Pruta is a buzzword for a very specific area of halacha, momenos. There's no din momenos if it's Pachos Meshava Pruta. If a person steals Pachos Meshava Pruta, it still is aser, but not mi din gzeila d'oraisa. Maybe it's because of the din of Chatzi Shir, maybe it's an Isser Derabbanan, but classic Zela doesn't apply if you steal less than a Pruta's worth. Why? Because Halacha doesn't register Pachos Meshava Pruta as having a din mamon. There's no din mamon on Pachos Meshava Pruta. In order to be a din mamon, you need at least a Shava Pruta. So comes along the Ritva and says, you know why I would have had a Havamina that there's no din of Biyomotitein Scharo by Eshkol Echad? Because there's no din mamon. And since biyomotitein scharo is a mamonist din, so I would think it wouldn't apply pachos meshava pruta. Kamash mlon gzeiros hakasav, it still does apply. Now, unclear, what's the kamash mlon? Is the kamash mlon that ein achanami, you see that it's not a din mamon, it's just an iser? Or is the kamash mlon, you're right, it's all about mamonist, but here there's a special din that applies anyway. Okay, that's an open question, what the Kamash Malan is. But the back and forth here between the Ka'avamina and the Maskana could be riding on this issue, and this would be a Nafkamina. Does biyomotitin scharo apply even pachas meshava pruta because there's no din mamon by that. And the Chafetz Chaim wants to say that's maybe a machlokas between Tosos and the Ritva here. Tosos doesn't go in that direction because he thinks it's obvious that biyomotitin scharo is just an iser; it's not mamon, and that's why he doesn't bring up this as the havamina. But the Ritva who brings up is the possible havamina that pachas meshava pruta maybe we wouldn't apply the din. It's because the Ritva understood that it was a mamonos din. And then what?
And then you're stealing.
Right.
You have to pay back
kefal. So it's definitely not going to be gezela and have the din of... it's definitely not going to have the din of kefal, that's for sure. Because they're very specific parameters that need to be met in order to have a din of kefal. But the ikker question of whether this is considered nis or gezel... In other words, forget... You know, it's you owe him $100, but on time. So now you didn't pay him on time. You pay him a week late. So you owe more than $100. How much are you paying him? I was discussing with someone today. Anyone who owns a business knows that you have a nice long laundry list of employees or of clients who haven't paid their bills yet. Anyone who works for a major company, so you know that if your company is put together and works well, so they pay their workers on time. And there are many companies that don't pay on time; they pay late. Oh, they'll say, "Oh, I know we usually pay you on the 5th of the month, but." We don't have a lot of cash flow this month, so we're going to pay you late. So when he pays you late, a lot of times you just say, okay, I'm thankful I got my money. Now he paid me 5 days later, but maybe he owes you more because there was a financial loss you incurred by not getting paid on time. Not just grumma, like, oh, I could have used this money for something else, and you made me lose out because I... But it's that's like grumma, that you caused me a possible loss. No, we're saying that being paid on time itself has a financial value. That was part of the hiring. When I hired you, that's part of the schiras. We saw this by eating in the field as well, this chakira. When I hire you to work, am I paying you your wages plus the right to be eaten in the field, plus the right to be paid on time? Are these all part of the tinaim, the condition of the hiring or not? All right, we have another really great nafkamina, and this is something that strikes at a very important din that we need to know about a poel. We've been learning a lot of halachos of poelim over the past week and a half. Dinei Poalim. So there's a very important halacha that you need to know about Poalim. And this is regarding the compensation to a Poel. The Mishnah tells us on Kuf Yud Ches, Hasocher es ha-Poel laso simo b'tevenu b'kash. You hire someone to work in the field. And then v'amar lo tein li schari. So he says to you, pay me. V'amar lo tol masha asita b'scharecha. Take your money from what you worked. You worked in the chocolate factory all day. It's the end of the day, you want to be paid? Okay, so take $100 worth of chocolates. Are you allowed to say that? Says the Mishnah in Shomen Lo. Why not? Chocolate has value. The Gemara Baba Kama has a discussion about Shava Kesef Ke Kesef. If you damage somebody, if you break someone's window, are you allowed to pay him with the broken window pieces? Plus, you'll reimburse him whatever else costs. Let's say you have somebody who has a nice, beautiful golden statue. And you smash it into a million pieces. He says, okay, that golden statue cost me $10,000. So you say, okay, well, listen, first, let's collect all the gold pieces. You could probably sell those. Let's see, get the value of those. Those are worth $1,000. Okay, so I'll pay you $9,000 more. Or let's say you say, I don't have any money right now, but I happen to be a potato farmer, and I have $10,000 worth of potatoes. So I'll give you $10,000 worth of potatoes. So he says, what am I going to do with $10,000 worth of potatoes? So you'll say to him, what do you mean? You'll take them down to the market and you'll sell them and you'll get $10,000. He says, I don't want that, Tircha. You say back to him, tough luck. I owe you $10,000. This is $10,000 worth. Do we say that? Or do we say to you, no, 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 you go to the market. You sell them for $10,000 and then pay him $10,000. Is there a chiyuv to pay in cash? So Rabbeinu Tam, anyone have a Gemara Bava Kama here? Rabbeinu Tam famously quotes in a few places that there are gimel dinim when it comes to payments. When it comes to Nezikin, the din is, you could pay with whatever you want. If you're a damager, you could pay back in potatoes. Kesef or Shava Kesef. Kesef or Shava Kesef. Money or anything that takes the place of money. What was the second din? Amalveh. What's the din of Amalveh? The din of Amalveh, if you borrow money from someone, can you pay him back with potatoes? Unlike Nezikin, Lichadchil, you can't pay him back in potatoes. You got to pay him with money. But what if you don't have money? What's the din? Then you could pay him potatoes. Meaning, if it's Nezikin, if I come, Donnie, to your house and I break your window, and I owe you now $100 for your window, if I have cash, I have to pay with the cash. Sorry, by Nezikin, even if I have cash, I don't have to pay with the cash. I can give you potatoes. And even if Donnie says, I don't like potatoes, what am I going to do with potatoes? Give me cash, I know you have money pouring out of your pockets, Rabbi Leibowitz. And I say, yeah, too bad, I'm giving you potatoes, because I'm a mazik, and a mazik can pay with whatever he wants. It's true that by karka you might have to pay with iddis, specifically top grade fields. But if you're paying with metaltolin, the din is you can pay with whatever you want. Cash, potatoes, whatever you want. That's by nezikin. That's in a case where I damage Donnie's property. But what if Donnie lends me $100 and I want to pay him back now? And I say, here you go, Donnie, $100 worth of potatoes. And Donnie says, Rabbi Leibowitz, there's a $100 bill sticking out of your pocket. So I say, okay, so what? I want to pay potatoes. Donnie says, no, I know that Tosfos and Daf Tes and Baba Kama. You have to pay with cash if you have cash. What if I don't have cash? Then I can pay in potatoes. That's din number two, a malva, a halva.
Does that apply to paying someone back with like a knowing change?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's an interesting question. What if you want to give someone back like 100 pennies instead of a dollar? Yeah, I'm not sure. L'chora, coins is money. Right. Even though it's annoying, that would need to be accepted. The third category is a sakhir. Special din by a sakhir. A sakhir needs to be paid in cash. What if I don't have cash to pay Donnie, my worker? Right up until now, Donnie was in the better position. He was the lender. He was the guy who was getting damaged and getting paid back. Now Donnie is my worker. And I have to pay Donnie. And I tell Donnie, I'm sorry, Donnie. Certainly if I have money, I have to give him money. What if I don't have money? I only have potatoes? Donnie can say to me, too bad, I'm not taking potatoes. You have to go, Rabbi Leibowitz, sell your potatoes and give me the money. A sakhir is only paid in cash. Okay, that's the din of zeal, tarach. Go, zeal, go, and tarach. You go work hard and get the money. I'm not doing that, says Donnie. And the reason the Magid Mishnah says, he tries to give an explanation of this, it just appears in the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says, ain shomen lo, you got to pay him in cash. Says the Magid Mishnah, you know the reason why you have to pay him in cash? It's because of the Pasuk. What does the Pasuk say? Dani is a poor worker. That's generally how the Torah assumes. The worker is the one who needs the parnasa. That's why he's working. If he didn't need the parnasa, he'd sit in the base medrash. He'd be learning. But he needs the money, so he's going out to work. He's going out to be a day laborer. So what does it say in the Pasuk? You have to pay him on time. You see that a worker is a person who needs the cash. That's why we have this din of biyomotitein scharo. He needs the money. And therefore, if Donnie is planning on going home that night with the money and saying, kids, guess what? Great news. I made $100 today. We can eat dinner. So if I show up with 100... Okay, I know potatoes, then they can eat the potatoes. So if I show up with 100... $100 worth of Q-tips. So Donnie's going to come home to his home hungry family. He's going to say, guys, I'm sorry, Rabbi Leibowitz didn't give me any cash. All he gave me was 20,000 Q-tips. We have nothing to eat for dinner tonight. So therefore, since it's very possible Donnie needs the money tonight for dinner, he's going to go right from work to the restaurant and buy dinner for his family. So that's why I have to pay with cash, says the Magid Mishnah. Okay. That's the background for our discussion. Now, we had one... Yeah, could just clarify something?
Yeah. The Rashi say it's specifically with always cash or whatever deal you made with the original.
So that's going to be a question about whether you can make a tanai right. In order to change it. But me'ikara din, the din is you have to pay him cash up front right away. Okay? Now, the Gemara on Daf Kuf Yud Beis has a brisa. Says the brisa, Tana Rabbanan lo solin pula sachir. You got to pay on time. What if he's not Toveya? What if I hire Donnie? The end of the day works. Donnie comes and goes, all right, Rabbi Leibowitz, it was a great day working for you. Take care. I go, okay, Donnie, have a great day. Donnie goes home. Never asks to be paid. Do I have to pay him by the morning? Dinner's no, because he was never Toveya. It's only if he comes to me, gives me a bill, and he says, Rabbi Leibowitz, you know you owe me money for this. And I say, I know, don't worry, I'll get it to you by the morning. It's only if there's a Toveya. You would think that even if I don't have money, I have to pay him. Pasuk says, itcha, ad boker. I can't hold on to money that I have and not pay. This is, first of all, a very interesting window into this whole nature of this halacha. The halacha is not, I have to run and get him money. The halacha is that if I have money, it would be cruel for me not to give him the money. If I have money, I got to pay him. What if I don't have money? The din is that I'm not over on biyomo titein scharo. So what does it mean I don't have money? So Rabbi Akiva Eger says, you know what it means, itcha, that you have to, you're only over on the isser if you have? Rabbi Akiva Eger is trying to be medayik in a chinuch. It means you have something. Meaning, if Donnie finishes the day of work and Donnie asks to be paid, and I say to Donnie, I'm sorry, I don't have anything, Donnie could say, according to the chinuch, what do you mean you don't have anything, Rabbi Leibowitz? Right there in your house. Look, you have a DVD player, you got a flat screen plasma television, you have a nice sound system, you have Q-tips. Go take these things, go sell them, and get me my money. And I'm going to say, no, 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 Donnie, it's a braisa, kuf yud beis. It's only if I have. If I don't have, I don't have a din of biyomo titein scharo. And Donnie will say right back to me, Rabbi Leibowitz, Rabbi Akiva Eger says, it doesn't mean you don't have money, it means you don't have anything. Einochanami, if I'm poor and I have nothing that I can go sell and get money for Donnie, so then I'm pater. I'm not over on the yisr. For the chinuch, this is almost like an onus for the chinuch. And for Rabbi Eger. What am I supposed to do? Donnie, I can't pay you. I don't have anything. I have nothing in my house that I could sell. Now you might say, what? He has nothing? What, you don't have a bed to sleep on? So in a chanami, there's certain things that I just can't sell by tomorrow. If it's 6 p.m. at night and I have a bed, where am I going to sell a bed tonight and get you money by the morning? How am I going to do that? So in a chanami, they have to... But if I have something that I could take down to the pawn shop and get money for, I'm chayef to do that, says Rabbi Akiva Eger. However, the Magen Mishnah learns differently. The Magen Mishnah says, you know what it means that I don't have anything? It means I have no cash. Not I have no property. I could have cars and pools, but if I happen to have no cash on me, I'm putter. This is a big kula. This happens all the time. Baruch Hashem, live here on Kol Oro. I have lots of very nice things in my apartment. Baruch Hashem, I have a set of Shulchan Aruch. I have a Shiles and Chews with Kiva Eger. I have a lot of very valuable things in my house. I also, my son has a bicycle. My son has a Spider-Man figurine. We got plenty of things in our house that we could technically sell and make money. Let's say Donnie comes to my house and he fixes my washing machine, as Donnie always does so well. And now I have to pay him. And I don't have any cash on me, but I have plenty of things I could sell. So according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, I got to go out and sell something. I'm gonna show up in yeshiva with a nice stack of hashgacha practices, and I'm gonna say, "All right, guys, let's go. Time to pay up. You're all my shear. Everyone's got to buy a book. Let's go." And I'll make my money, and I'll pay Donnie. Or, according to the Magen Mishnah, if I have no cash, I have no cash. I'm sorry, Donnie, I have no cash. I have credit cards. I don't have any cash. I'm sorry, I can't pay you. What's the machlokas over? Why does the Magen Mishnah say if I have no cash, I'm pater? L'chora, it's Talyan Ar Chakira here. If you learn, who'd you say first? If you learn like, well, I'm going to say it the same way. If you learn like the Magid Mishnah, if you learn like the Magid Mishnah, let's say that you don't have to go and pay. We don't have to go sell your stuff to pay, right? It's only if you don't have cash, but you don't have to go sell your stuff and pay. Why does the Magen Mishnah say that? He's obviously learning that it's just an isser, and therefore, we're not going to make... There's only one place in Kol HaTorah Kula that we make you sell your stuff to pay with cash. Where's that? By the wages of a sachir. Is paying on time part of the wages of a sachir? No, that's not part of the wages of a sachir. That's a separate din. So Mehecha Tesi, that it would have the chiddush that you have to go sell your stuff in order to pay. It's not part of the wages of a sachir. So the Magen Mishnah is learning that it's not part of the mamonos. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger, who says, of course you have to sell your stuff in order to pay. Why is he saying that? Because he's clearly learning that it's part of the mamonos, it's part of the ikar schirus. And that's why it's pashut, you have to sell your stuff in order to pay. Oh, so what's the gezeiras hakasav, what's the special din that you're pashut if you don't have? Means if you don't have anything at all. You have nothing to pay with, you have no cash, and you also have no stuff with which to pay. Okay, excellent, very good. three nafkamina: Yerusha, Pachos Meshava Pruta, and the din of Zil Tarach, the special Gezeris HaKasav by Sachir.
If it's an Isser, why don't you have to sell your stuff?
Say it again?
If it's an Isser, why would that mean that you don't have to sell your stuff?
Because there's only one place in Kol Torah Kula that you have a requirement to sell your stuff to get cash. And that's by the wages of a Sachir. So if this is considered part of the wages of the Sachir, what?
What about Gezela?
You know, but you could pay, you could just give him stuff. You don't have to go sell your stuff in order to pay with cash. You could just give him stuff. Okay, yes, Mayor.
The three nafkaminas are Pachos Meshava Pruta, the grapes.
Yerusha. Yerusha, Pachos Meshava Pruta, and the discussion we just had about the din of Zil Tarach.
So
grapes, that was part of the discussion of Pachos Meshava Pruta. That was giving pshat, and what was the havamina by the grapes. There is a much more basic, or let's say, common or fundamental discussion that really should come up regarding our Chakira, and this is what was brought up by Effie. That's just the basic reimbursement if you don't pay him on time. If you don't pay somebody on time, can he claim from you that you're stealing from him? This was actually a case that the Rishonim quote of Rav Eliezer of Toul and Rav Chizki of Bobart. It's probably pronounced like Bobay or something like that. It's a French city. No? How would you pronounce that? Beauvoir. Okay. There was a case where Eliezer of Toul, one of the Rishonim, hired, it's a little bit of a funny case because it's like a little bit like Lashon Hara here about like one of the Rishonim, no? I mean, unless he like didn't have money or something, I'm not really sure. I mean, if he didn't have money, then it wouldn't be an Isser. So it says that Eliezer of Toul hired Rav Chizki. I don't know exactly what the story is here, but Rav Eliezer of Toul hired Rav Chizkiya to work for him, and he didn't pay him on time. So Rav Chizkiya came afterwards and took him to Beis Din. And he said, you have to pay me, but not only do you have to pay me, but you have to reimburse me. That was part of my salary, was to be paid on time. So it's not enough just to give me my wages, you also have to give me money. You didn't give me my full salary, because you didn't pay on time. You owe me more money right now. So this was brought to the Gedolim of the time, Rav Yoel, the father of the Rav Yah, and the Rav Yah also, the Avi Ezri is the Rav Yah, they paskined, that ain't a chanami, you got to pay him, and they brought a raya. What's their raya? They brought a raya from the Mishnah and Makos. The Mishnah and Makos has a case where somebody brings him Edim Zomin, lying Edim, in order to say that you owe me, I lent you, Yosef Chaim, I lent you $10,000, and I brought an Edim that you owe me the money today. And you say, what are you talking about? You're lying. I owe you the money in 10 years from now. I don't owe you today. And I bring in lying Edim who say that you owe me the money today. In the end, those Edim are proven to be Edim Zomim. And the question is, do those Edim Zomim owe you money? Those Edim Zomim were trying to make you pay back $10,000 10 years earlier than you really have to pay. So the Gemara says, yeah, the Mishnah says we do a cheshbon. We figure out how much would someone pay to have $10,000 for an extra 10 years. If I lent you $10,000 and you don't want to pay me back now, the loan's over, you want to hold on to it for 10 more years, how much would you pay for me to extend the loan, to let you hold on to the money for 10 more years? What's the market value for that? That's the amount of money the Edim Zomim were making Yosef Chaim lose out. That's what the Edim Zomim were scheming to do. So asks Rabbeinu Yoel and the Rav Yah, they ask, what's pshat in the Mishnah? How can there be a halachic market value on getting a loan for 10 extra years? That's called ribis. There's no Jewish market value for that. You can't go around and find out, well, how much do people pay out there to get loans extended for 10 years? Because nobody does that. And even if you want to tell me, oh, there's some sinners who do it, but there's no halachic recognition of what they did, you can't tell me halachically, I made you lose $100 because that's what people pay to extend loans for. There is no halachic value on extending a loan. It's ribis. So how can the Mishnah and Makos be putting a price tag on extension of payment? Comes along Rabbeinu Yoel and says it must be that the Mishnah is talking about schirus. It must be that when it comes to schirus, there is no iser to charge the guy more to pay later. Meaning, if I owe Yishai money for working for me, and I say to Yishai, listen, I know I owe you $100 for working for me, but I don't have the money. So, let me pay you in a month, and I'll pay you an extra $10. Says Rabbeinu Yoel, that's not ribis. Ribis is only by a loan. There's no ribis when you owe someone money for their work. So if I say to, and it could work the other way as well. Yishai can say, listen, I'm willing to fix your washing machine for you, but these are my rates. If you pay me immediately, it's $100. But if you want to pay me in a month from now, it's $150. Generally, you can't do that. You can't loan someone money and say, these are the conditions of the loan. If you pay me back next week, you pay me back $10,000. If you pay me back in a year, it's $12,000. That's called ribbis. We've discussed this. This is a very big issue. Sometimes, it could be, I mean, it's a halachic discussion. If you go into a store and the store says, this is the way it works. If you pay us for the washing machine right now, washing machine's 1,000 shekel. But if you want to pay over the next few months, tashlumim, so you have to pay 1,200 shekel. Pay right now, up front, you get it for cheaper. Stores do that all the time, right? Pay up front and you get a cheaper price. That's ribbis, seemingly. So it depends. Is ribbis only by a loan? What about a regular financial transaction? Ribbis means to pay for time. I don't have the cash right now. I want to pay for time. So, right, that's every time you take a person takes a mortgage to buy a house. They borrow $500,000 from the bank. So the bank wants their $500,000 back. So you say, okay, I want to pay it back over 30 years. So they say, oh, over 30 years? That's fine. You can pay it back over 30 years, but you're going to pay a lot more than $500,000. Because having money for time is worth something. So the Mishnah clearly says there's a monetary value in halacha for having money for 10 years. So how can that be? Isn't it ribbis? Comes along Rabbeinu Yoel and says it must be a case of schiras. And it must be that by schiras there's no such isser as ribbis. You're allowed to take money to be able to pay your worker later. That's what Rabbeinu Yoel says. Comes along the Or Zeruah and says, oh my gosh, what horrible analysis of the Mishnah. The Mishnah must be talking about schiras, because what else can it be? I can give you other things of what it can be. How about a case of Yisomim? There are exceptions to the laws of ribbis. Yisomim, Staka. Yeah, we're not going to get into the details right now. But the Or Zeruah says there could be a million and one things, or at least two. Two other things that the Mishnah could be talking about where there's a heter of schiras. The Beis Yosef, for instance, quotes a very obvious case. Who are you allowed to quote ribbis to, charge ribbis to? A goy. So there's a Jewish market value on ribbis. Maybe not between Jews, but Jew to a goy. Jews were moneylenders all the time. They always charged ribbis. There's even shitas that it's a mitzvah. The Rambam counts it as a mitzvah to charge ribbis to a goy. A mitzvah asei yir mekayim by charging ribbis to a goy. The Rambam quotes it as a mitzvah asei to lend ribbis. So of course there's a market value for ribbis. Ad kan the machlokas between the Or Zeruah, Beis Yosef on one side versus Rabbeinu Yoel and the Rav Yoh on the other side. But what do you see according to all the opinions? There's one thing that everybody seemingly is agreeing on. Everyone is seemingly agreeing that there is a monetary value to having not paid him on time. Everyone is saying that that's worth something. The question is just, is it ribbis to actually charge it or not? Some are saying that that would be ribbis, and some are saying that it's not ribbis. But seemingly both sides of the machlokas here, whether you're the Or Zeruah or you're the Rav Yoh, everyone is saying, oh, you didn't pay on time, Rav Elezer of Tul? You owe him money. Can you collect the money? Oh, that's a question. Maybe it's ribbis, maybe it's not ribbis. That's the machlokas. Is that ribbis? Does ribbis extend to schiras? But everyone in that discussion is learning that there's a monetary value on it. For instance, the Rush, what would the Rush have said to the Shaila? The Rush have said there's absolutely no Shaila here. You're right, he didn't pay you on time. He's a bad boy, and he gets an Aveira for not paying you on time. But Mechatesa, you could charge him for that. It doesn't have any monetary value. There's no monetary value on that. The Rush would say there's nothing to talk about here. It's only if you assume that there's a mominous value to the wages not being paid on time, that he could start to get into a discussion about, can you charge the guy, right? That's what I said. What's the most pashut nafkamina? If he asked himself, what's the most pashut nafkamina in the sugya? If the guy doesn't pay you on time, do you have a claim of gazela against him, that he owes you money? He took from you. Everyone in the ribbis schiras discussion is assuming yes. And the question is, are you allowed to charge him for it? But the Rush Lachara would say the whole discussion never takes off. There is no value to that. That's an aveira. It's not a mominous issue. You can't charge him for that. The Rambam also seemingly disagrees, and we'll end with this. The Rambam also seemingly disagrees with the rush and the whole approach to say that there's no monetary value to the schiras. Why? The Rambam says that there's no malchus for the Avera of Losal. Says the Rambam. Where was it? Yud Aleph Aleph and Hilchos Schiras. Says the Rambam. Mitzvah Saseh to pay on time. V'yim ichru la'achar zman, you're over a low sase. Shenamar v'lo sobo lov ha-shemesh. V'yim lokan alav, sharei hu chayev l'shalem. You don't get Malkus. Why don't you get Malkus? You don't get Malkus because you have to pay him back. Now, what does that mean you have to pay him back? You have to pay him his wages? Oh, so the Rambam doesn't say that, right? He doesn't say Navanita Klase. Oh, so there's another category called Alav, which is Nitan Litashlumin. Says the Magen Mishnah on this Rambam. You know why? What the Rambam means? That you're not Lokin because you're Chayav L'Shalim? Because whenever there's a monetary requirement and Alav, you pay money, you don't get Malkus. You don't get Malkus whenever there's a monetary requirement. Not because it's Nitak L'Essay. The Rambam doesn't say it's because it's Nitak L'Essay. No, it's not because it's Nitak L'Essay. It has nothing to do with the fact that there might be a mitzvah to pay him. Oh, so there you have to look what the Rambam says. We're going to deal with that in 1 second. Hold on. Kol Mishalim in Aloka. That's the din. Yes, Kol Mishalim in Aloka. That's what the Magen Mishnah says. The Magen Mishnah says, in this case, the reason you don't get Malkus is Kol Mishalim in Aloka. Exactly. So what does that mean, Kol Mishalim in Aloka here? What are you paying back? You're paying his wages. There's two different issues here, aren't there? Aren't there two different issues here? You owe him wages, $100. You also have to pay him on time. We're not talking about someone who doesn't is not going to ever pay. We're just talking that you didn't pay him on time. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says, for a lo solim, you don't get malchus. Why not? Because you're chayav to pay back. I'm chayav to pay back for the wages. I'm not chayav to pay back for the biyomo titein scharo. Seemingly, according to the Rush, there's two issues here. You owe him $100 for his work. That you're going to pay him back. Good. But you also did an aveira. You didn't pay him on time. Why don't you get malchus for that lav? The Rambam says, no, because you're chayav l'shalim. I'm chayav l'shalim on lo solim? Or I'm chayav to pay back the wages? Of course I'm chayav to pay back the wages. What does the Rambam mean that I'm chayav to pay back and therefore I don't get malchus on lo solim? Lo solim's a separate isser. So it sounds like already in the Rambam, no, you're going to have to pay back, and part of your paying back is going to have to include the fact that you didn't pay him on time. That's part of what you owe him. That's R number one. It sounds like you'd have to be paying the ribbis. You're chayav l'shalim. If not, so how is that saying, call him mishalim in aloka? I'm being mishalim, the fact I owe him money. What does one have to do with the other? Let's say I borrowed money from you, and then I also, as I was borrowing the money from you, I made fun of you. Ha ha ha, you used to not keep kosher. So would you say, well, let's see, there should be malchus, and there aren't malchus for that lav. Let's say there are malchus for that lav. Okay, for the lav of making fun of someone. So I owe you money and the lav, but I don't get malchus because I'm paying you back. What would you say? You'd say, wait, you're paying me back because you stole from me. That's one issue. There's another issue that you did a lav, you made fun of me. If that lav gets malchus, I get malchus. If not, what is that? The fact that I happen to be paying you back for something else has nothing to do with this. If you learn like the Rush, there's two separate things here. There's something called owing a guy money because he worked for you. Very nice. I owe you money for that. I agree. There's another din in the Torah called you got to pay him on time. I didn't pay on time. Okay, so if that's a lav, I should get malchus. If not, not. The fact that I'm chayav to pay him his wages, what does that have to do with the lav? I was still over on the lav. But if you learn that the lav is part of the wages, so then the fact that I have to pay you back means I have to pay you back also for... Okay, now you're right. We're going to have to get into a discussion. Is there ribbis? Is there a monetary value? Let's say the Rambam holds that there's ribbis by schiras. So then, Enoch Anami, I wouldn't actually pay you any more than what I owe you for your work. But theoretically, al pi halacha, there is a price tag on the fact that I didn't pay you on time. Whether you can actually collect payment on that is a different issue. Maybe there's a separate side issue called ribbis, therefore I can't collect money on that. But theoretically, in Dine Mominus, I owe you money. The Minchas Chinuch is the one who points this out because he contrasts it to a different area of halacha. There's a din that you're not allowed to take a mashkon from somebody. If Rav Yaakov owes me $100,000 and he hasn't been paying me. So technically, I can go and get from him a collateral. There's a collateral that you give at the time of the halva. We're not talking about that. Sometimes when you make a loan, the deal is, Rav Yaakov, I'll lend you $100,000, but you got to give me your car for now until you pay me back. That's a collateral. We're not talking about that. We're talking about Rav Yaakov. Maybe Rav Yaakov is a bad example because, of course, he'll pay me back right away. But let's just Rav Yaakov be mocha me. So let's say Rav Yaakov, I lent him $100,000. He didn't pay me back on time. So now I come to him and I say, Rav Yaakov, I'm getting a little nervous here. You're not paying me on time. I want you to give me something. Give me some property. I want to know that I'm going to get paid. So the proper procedure is for me to go to Beis Din. Beis Din goes into Rav Yaakov's property and says, listen, we're not going to take all the $100,000 from you right now. We understand you're trying to get the money together, but we're going to take your car and give it to him until you pay. That's the proper procedure. What if I would go and take the mashkon myself? Not through Beis Din. I would go and take the car myself. What's the din? So the Rambam quotes this din, and the Rambam says, there, I don't get malchus. Why? Here, the Rambam says, you know why? Because I have an assay to do. It's a lav, I need to have an assay. I was over in a lav. You know how to take a mashkon by yourself. But there's an assay that fixes it. What's the assay? That I have to give back the mashkon. You have to give back the mashkon. So I'll give back the mashkon. It's like stealing. If you steal, you have a mitzvah. Heshev is a gazela. So too here, I took the mashkon against the rules. I have a mitzvah to give it back, so I'm still a bad guy, but I don't get malchus for it. Comes along the Ravid, and the Ravid says, why is it because of mitzvah saseh? Just say, call him a shalim and a loke. You owe him money. You stole from him a mashkon. You owe him money. Why are you saying, just say, call Mishalim and Aloka? There's nothing to talk about. You don't need to come on to, oh, it's a mitzvah saseh, and it's nitak la'aseh. Just say, call Mishalim and Aloka. So the Magid Mishnah says, no, he explains the Rambam. The reason why the Rambam thinks that this is not nitan l'tashlumin, that this is not call Mishalim and Aloka, and instead he says it's because it's nitak la'aseh, the reason the Rambam says this is because theoretically, there's no mumminous problem here. You didn't steal from him. I'm allowed to take the mashkon. Because all of Rav Yaakov's property is meshubah to my loan. And when I take that car, that's money that's owed to me. He owes me money. He owes me $100,000. This car, I've seen Rav Yaakov's car, it's not worth $100,000. So, my car's also not worth $100,000. So, but I say, Rav Yaakov, I'm taking your car. There's no mumminess here. You can't say, call him a shalem ein oloke. I don't owe him money. There's no mumminess here. That's the Rambam by Mashkon. So asks the Minchas Chinuch, I don't understand. Why is this different from Halana Schar Sachir? By Halana Schar Sachir, the Rambam says, you know why I don't get Malkus? Call him a Shalem in Oloke. By Mashkon, he doesn't say that. How come? Seemingly in both cases, they're not mominous issues. What's going on here? So clearly, what's going on? It must be that the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah are arguing about what Halana Schar Sachir is about. The Rambam sees halana schar sachir as a form of gezel. It's mominous. And therefore the Rambam says, call him shalim in oloke. You know why you don't get malchus for not paying on time? Because you made an infraction in monetary issues. That's a monetary issue that you didn't pay him on time. As opposed to a mashkon. A mashkon's not a monetary issue. But the Magid Mishnah, who connects mashkon and halana schar sachir, and says in both these cases there's no mominous. Why are we saying it's because of mominus? There's a steer in the Rambam. The Magid Mishnah is clearly understanding, and the Minchas Chinuch is clearly understanding that the Rambam learned that halonas, that the two, that halonas schar sachir is not a mominus issue, it's just an isser, and therefore it's like mashkon. Just like mashkon, it's not a monetary issue. You did an avera. I did an avera by taking Rav Yaakov's car. Because the Torah says you can't take a mashkon on your own. But did I do anything wrong in mominus? No, he owes me the car. All I did was an Aveiro. So you can't tell me the reason I don't get Malkus is because I'm being Mishalim. I'm not being Mishalim. There's no monetary problem between me and Rav Yaakov. It's all an Isser. So how come I have a lot of Schar Sachir? The Rambam also doesn't say that. It must be that the Rambam learns a lot of Schar Sachir is not just an Isser. It's actually a monetary, it's a mominos issue. So what did we see today? We saw three Nafkamina. That's what we began with. But then we saw lots of overwhelming proof that halana schar sachir is a monetary issue. Certainly everybody involved in the ribbis schiris discussion is learning that it's mominous. It's part of the mominous. It's part of the wages. The Rambam is seemingly learning that it's part of the wages. So we've built up a very nice strong case that it's really a momonos issue, it's not an isser issue, and it could be that this is a major, major machlokas, with the Rush on one side saying that it's isser, and on the other side, the Rambam and others saying that it's momonos, and all the different nafkamina that we saw. Tomorrow, we're going to finish this sugya tomorrow. We're done with the Iker Chakira right now. Tomorrow we're going to be doing two more Gemaras that have to do with Halanas Sar Sachir. One is the Din of Boker Rishon. Very interesting question. How long are you over on the Isser? Let's say the morning comes and you didn't pay him. Okay. Am I now continually over on the Isser every day that I don't pay him? Or is it a one-time Isser? If you don't pay him on time, you're over on an Isser. And that's it. There's no continual Isser. Nafka Mina. Should I try to pay back then as soon as I can? But once I'm over on the Isser, now I can take my time. The Isser's done. I've already been over on the Isser. That's one issue, the issue of Boker Rishon. The other issue, which is going to be very fascinating, is going to be, can I make a Tanai? Can I make a Tanai that I'm going to pay him a week later? This happens all the time. Anyone who works for a company knows, you don't get paid the day you work. They pay you on the first of the month. How are you allowed to do that in Halacha? Are you allowed to make a Tanai? I know the Torah says I need to pay you on time. But I'd like to pay you at the end of the week. Do you agree? Yeah, I agree. Are you allowed to make a Tanai to go against the Torah? You're allowed to make a Tanai against the Torah? Masla mashakasa b'Torah. You're allowed to make a Tanai against the Torah. Oh, so it might be dependent on whether this is momentous. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we'll discuss this in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.